Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia. This is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. Have you ever had one of those times, maybe early in your Christian life, where a Bible teacher or a book that you read, they're so excited about some topic and they make it sound like, oh, this is like the thing. And everybody needs to know the thing. And if you know the thing, then you solve all your other problems. And you kind of hear it and you're suspicious. Well, that may be the thing, but I'm not sure it's all that you think it is. Well, early in my Christian life, I heard some Bible teachers get all excited about man being created in God's image. And I remember thinking, okay, that's good. But, you know, God made everything. You know, why is this so special? In my undergraduate experience, one of my classes, we had a book assigned to us, and I remember this title specifically, and it was called The Majesty of Man. And I remember seeing that title just being horrified. Like, why in the world am I going to read a book about this? Because this was like blurring what I thought was kind of man-centered theology, and I was, you know, committed to God-centered theology and all of that. But turns out a key cornerstone in why he was saying that man is so special in God's economy is not because we're great, but because God made us in his image. This was one of the teachers that was really hyping this image of God thing. Is it that big of a deal? Is it that special? Well, turns out they're right. These Bible teachers are right. Man being made in God's image is huge. In fact, there are so many hot button issues that we sort out by thinking through them biblically. And we start in Genesis. We start with man being made in God's image as being a very big part of that. I mean, murder, abortion, so-called racism, ethnic preferences, maybe more properly described, all of these things. And you just go, oh my goodness, this really does all come back to being made in God's image. And this is a very big deal. So today on Integrated, let's look at it. Let me see if I can hype you up to appreciate it. And see if you agree that this is really maybe worth the hype, if you will. All right, so let's start in Genesis, right? Genesis chapter 1. Of course, that's the passage about God creating everything and creating all the world in 6 days. And you get to the end of the section, the end of the chapter, and you get to day number 6. And it says in Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion, and it goes on from there. So, okay, this is a big deal. I've said it's a big deal, but I'm trying to prove it's a big deal. First of all, this is different than the other days of creation. You know, the other days of creation, that's an important thing in the flow of the context. The other days of the creation, God says it, it happens, it's good, go. All right, next day. And God says it, it happens, it's good, next day. And so when we get to day 6 and man being created in God's image, even the way it's described alerts us something special's going on here. This is different than the other days of creation. And that alone should get our attention. So what does it mean here? Well, the three persons of the Godhead are involved in creation. And even the later revelation of Scripture would kind of give us this clue that when he's giving us this plural, let us make man in our own image, it really does kind of speak back to this, that all members of the Trinity are involved in creation. We are created in the image and likeness of God. We are made similar to God himself in ways different than all other creatures in the universe. So do we have some things in common with other creatures, especially some of the mammals? Of course, we're made by the same author. That's not surprising that we would have some things in common. But no other creature in all of God's world is made in God's image. So what does it mean to be made in the image and likeness of God? It means that we can share in some of God's personal attributes, like love and goodness and mercy and patience and justice and grace. That results in the fact that we have the potential for a relationship with Almighty God. And then that results in being given dominion over all the rest of creation as God's vice regents. Now, it seems like a combination of all of those things. But for our purposes, the most important part of that is we are stamped with a dignity that no other creature is. And it applies to every man, woman, boy, girl, old, young, preborn, all the way to the end of life, suffering, still marked with the dignity of being made in God's very image. You say, all right, I've kept reading my Bible, though, Pastor John, I know there's more to this. And in Genesis chapter 3 comes the fall. All right, yeah, you were made in God's image, but smash. It's like you took your plate glass window, you took your mirror and just smashed it on the ground and said, not in God's image anymore. Well, actually, you still are, even though it's all cracked up, right? We might say the image of God is marred in man, but it is not taken away from man. Can you prove that from Scripture? Well, you keep reading. So the fall happens. So created in God's image, Genesis 1, the fall happens in Genesis 3. Come now to Genesis 5, verses 1 through 3. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them and blessed them. He blessed them and named them man. When they were created, when Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. So, God created man in his image, and we pass that image on to our children. And that has applied ever since. Now, this is after the fall, so we're still in God's image. After the flood, comes Genesis 9, right? So you've got the rainbow and the covenant there. And very significant that part of civilization post-flood, which is post-fall, includes these words. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image. So cornerstone of civilization is life. Why is life so important? Why is murder so bad? Because you are taking the life of someone stamped with God's very image. In the New Testament, James chapter 3, that's the passage about the deadly tongue, right? It's if you've been having difficulty controlling your mouth, James 3 is a good place to linger. One of the things that James tells us, inspired by the Holy Spirit, in James 3, 9 and 10, with it, talking about our tongue, our mouth, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. So we're still in God's image. Don't kill anybody. Don't curse anybody. But you know what? There's some hope for us who are sinful image bearers, that Jesus came as the ultimate image of God. And not only did he perfectly manifest God to us, he was God's image. And for those of us who've turned from our sin, who've trusted in Jesus, our sins are forgiven, and we are put on a path of conformity to the image of Christ, who is the image of God. That cracked up mirror, that is you and is me, is being restored to the pristine image of God that God created us with. We are being redeemed. It's finally going to happen when Jesus comes and takes us to glory. Now, in the meantime, let's work it out. And so we're going to take a break. After our break, let's talk about the implications of the image of God.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. John Grotz in just a moment. And you know, as he's been talking about the sanctity of human life and what it means to be made in God's image, I want to tell you about a resource that's especially relevant to today's topic. It's Life is Best, and it's in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. Scott Klusendorf, along with others, give a comprehensive pro-life training that builds on exactly what Dr. Krotz has been talking about today, helping you articulate on why every human life has dignity and worth as an image bearer of God. So whether you're looking to better understand the biblical foundation for the sanctity of life, or you're wanting to be better equipped to have these crucial conversations with other people, Life is Best is going to give the tools that you need to stand firm on biblical truth in a world that's increasingly devaluing human life. It's Life is Best, available now at fortisinstitute.org. And speaking of standing firm on truth, have you downloaded Fortis Plus just yet? Completely free, and it's going to give you access to hundreds of hours of content that will deepen your understanding of God's Word. As a matter of fact, we're adding 7 new posts, audio and video, every single day, including our news feature hosted by yours truly, that will help you think biblically about all of the current events happening in our culture. You'll get daily hot takes from our fellows on topics that matter to you. And yes, it includes this very episode of Integrated. Check it out right now at fortisplus.org or download from your app store. All completely free of charge. And as we've been talking about the dignity of human life and what it means to be created in God's image, I can't help but think about your impact and your partnership with Fortis Institute. In this brave new world that's increasingly rejecting biblical truth, we're committed to standing strong. We're committed to equipping believers like you with sound biblical teaching. Every day, we're reaching people with these vital biblical truths, helping them understand their worth in Christ and attempting to teach them to value every human life as God does. And your support as an ongoing monthly gospel partner just enables us to continue producing culturally compelling and biblically sound and gospel-centered content that impacts lives. We always encourage you to prioritize your giving to your local church first. That's biblical. But if you would like to partner with us in this mission, visit fortisinstitute.org to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner today. Now, let's get back to our discussion with Dr. John Krotz on the dignity of human life. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Krotz.
Welcome back. Today we're talking about the image of God, man being created in the image of God. Some Bible teachers make it sound like, oh, this is the one issue. If you've got this one right, it helps you solve a lot of the practical hot button issues of this life. And I remember being skeptical. Come on. Can it be that important, that good? Turns out, yes, it is really important. So we've looked at it in Genesis chapter 1, different than any animal, different than any creature, anything else in the rest of God's wonderful creation. Although all created good, when God created man, he He created him in his image, put a stamp upon us, saying we have dignity. We are worthy of respect. Every single person that you ever encounter or ever will encounter is a person worthy of respect and dignity. So we want to talk about some of these hot button issues that thinking through it biblically from the image of God is helpful. Let's start with abortion, unborn babies. What is abortion? It's taking an innocent life of a baby that's not yet born. You listen to the way God speaks in Psalm 139, verse 13. This is David talking. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. Now listen to the way that God talks. Yes, it's somewhat poetic in there, talking about God knitting us together in our mother's wombs. But you can see behind that the image of God. You know, this is an unborn baby. This is a precious life. Should be in the safest place in the whole world, safely in its mother's womb. And yet abortion takes that innocent life. That is wrong. That is murder. That is sinful. We saw in Genesis 9, verse 6, that if we take an innocent life, we are worthy of having our lives taken because we are taking the life of someone in God's image. Now, I know that some of you, even listening today, may have participated in abortion. Maybe you have got it. Maybe you paid for a girlfriend to get it. Maybe you were the driver and just participated in this. I think we need to just stop and pause and say, that was wrong. That was sin. And because this child was made in God's image and was not worthy of being killed. But you know, we just want to pause and remember Jesus died even for these sins, and Christ can forgive you. And I'm so thankful for all the different sins our Lord has forgiven me from. And I speak to you as a fellow sinner. Let's acknowledge what it is. You got to know the bad news before the good news makes sense. And let us go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness based on the finished work of Jesus on the cross in the resurrection. We're trusting in him, not ourselves. And that is the basis of our right relationship with God and a clean conscience. But when we think about murder, when we think about abortion, we need to be thinking about it in terms of God's very image. No, we don't take the life of another person because they are made in God's image. Another implication might be infanticide. It seems to flow exactly from abortion. If abortion, as some consider today, is okay because the baby isn't born yet, what about if the baby is born and we don't like him or her? Is it okay to kill them? Yeah, some people follow the logic and say, yeah, I guess it's okay. But we biblical Christians follow the logic, this is a child in God's image. It wasn't okay to take their life in the womb. It's certainly not okay to take their life because they're an irritating baby being that has been born to us and is cramping our lifestyle. No, not at all. Not at all. Now, again, I'm not saying that caring for a special needs child or an adult won't be hard. It will. But it's God's plan. God gave you that child. And there's another good reason to be in a good church. Because if you're in a good church, you have a lot of resources around you. And in a sense, God has given the church the opportunity to assist and help and support, encourage as we work through some of these tough issues together. What about euthanasia? The good death, quote unquote. Oh, I'm sick. I'm suffering. I'm mentally suffering. My life isn't worth continuing. Is it okay to assist me in taking my life? Is it okay for me to take my life? Come on, what do I have left to offer in society? My family doesn't want me to live like this anymore. I'm suffering. Is it okay just to go ahead and let me go? I'm not talking about a natural death. I'm talking about euthanasia, killing the person that is in that situation, taking their life or assisting them in taking their own life. Is that okay? No, it is not okay. Why? Because that person, even if it's you, are in God's image. And how dare you mar or take away the stamp of dignity that God has impressed upon you. You have dignity and respect, and God gave you that. And for you to toss it in the garbage can or the tomb, that's a terrible thing to do. Now, of course, important qualifier, there's a big difference between killing a person and letting them die. We've got so many artificial means of keeping a body alive, so we're not prohibited biblically from removing those in hopeless situations. Again, there's all kinds of ethical dilemmas, but overall, the message is life is sacred. Life is sacred. God made it that way. So euthanasia, no. Suicide, no. Not good. It is sinful. What about racism? So again, I made the qualification earlier. There's one race, the human race. In fact, recent DNA studies show that all of us are 99.9% the same genetically. Certainly, we've got some different skin tones and some features, but the stuff that makes us people is the same. We are vitally connected. We are virtually identical. And so, guess what? One of the ways we're identical, we're all made in God's image, everyone. And so there should be no ethnic prejudice. There should be no ethnicity saying, I am better than another one that is made in God's image. I think that maybe the biggest example of ethnic prejudice in the New Testament was the Jews and the Samaritans. And you remember the story of the Good Samaritan. This was the story Jesus gave as the example of what it means to show love. And so showing love between the races, so-called, or ethnicities more properly, is absolutely biblical, absolutely right. Well, I don't hear as much controversy about mixed marriages or interracial marriages as maybe there used to be about 25 or 30 years ago. But some people still wonder, is this okay? And you see some of the issues in the Old Testament, and we see Israel was not permitted to marry some of their pagan neighbors. But the issue was not ethnicity as much as it was paganism. The race thing, it's not a race thing, but a religion thing, if you will. Now, practically, there's still some costs in interracial marriages in our society. Again, much less, thankfully, than 30 years ago. But we're all of one race. And this is not a problem. This is a beautiful thing. Plus, aren't interracial babies the cutest babies of all? Anyway, I'm biased, and it's fantastic. We thank God to see God bringing believers together, who are both made in God's image to become godly husbands and wives. Our lesson today: we're made in God's image. Everyone's special. not special because we're great. Our God is great. And he impressed us with dignity. And so everyone around you is worthy of respect and honor, from the least to the greatest, from the unborn to the old and suffering. Treat them with the respect that their God has emplaced upon them by creating them in his image. Now go do God's word.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreutz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.